when I'm in each part of the process, I'm probably thinking right then and there that now is like my favorite part.
That was lead designer of Annie's Signature Designs, Lena Skovargason, on this episode of Power Pearls Podcast, where you'll always hear candid conversations with everyday knitters and designers. I'm Kara Gott Warner, the host of Power Pearls Podcast, and I will always dig deep and ask the big questions: why we started knitting and what keeps our needles and hooks going. Did you know that you can become a sponsor of Power Pearls Podcast? Well, I want to share a little bit with you now how this works. Okay, so first of all, the podcast is free and always will be. But if you absolutely are loving this show and you want to do more, you can help. You can do something to help this show stay sustainable for the long haul. And you can become a sponsor at whatever level feels comfortable for you. And so if you go on over to patreon.com, so that's P-A-T-R-E-O-N, patreon.com/Power Pearls Podcast, you can see what's going on over there. You can see all the different levels. And, you know, I'm also, I give rewards, you know, for you taking part in this ground floor effort to help the show stay sustainable. So for example, at just the $5 per month level, you get my patron only audio podcast called The Secret Sauce to a Thriving Creative Business. And in this informative recording, you'll learn how to recognize your creative skills and talents and capitalize on them in order to cultivate the life and business you desire. And if you are ready to take your designing business to that next level, you can work with me one-on-one. I offer a creative mentorship monthly Skype session if you're a member at the $150 level. So that means you get to chat with me about your designing goals. Or if you're not quite sure what direction to go in, no problem, because I'll be there to help you every step of the way. And also, you get your very own commercial. And so what that means is I will create a 30-second commercial and I'll announce your design business. And this would be great because you'll really get to promote yourself as a designer through the podcast. So if you join me now, you'll get in on the ground floor, and there are benefits. As I said, there's so many benefits available for you if you help shape the future of Power Pearls. With your influence and valuable input, we can take this exciting ride together. You can learn more about how to support the show by visiting, again, patreon.com/Power Pearls Podcast. Hey, Power Pearls listeners. Welcome to another episode of Power Pearls Podcast. Today, I am chatting with Lena Skovargason. And that name might sound familiar to you guys because Lena was on episode 25. So that was a while ago. That was like, oh gosh, already a year ago. And we talked mostly about her background and, you know, her Scandinavian roots and the making of the Summer Love Collection, which was the first Annie's Signature Designs collection that was really this cohesive mix of projects that could be mixed and matched and, you know, just like a great way to enhance your wardrobe if you as a knitter or a crocheter. And anyway, so this time we are going to take a different approach and we're going to talk about sort of the behind the scenes aspect and what it was like from the moment we sat down together and, you know, like this kind of the from sketch to creation process, because I'm kind of in the background there with Lena and, you know, just sharing my influence. But she's really the visionary behind the collection. And we just finished launching the Annie's Autumn Bliss Collection. So we're going to talk about that. And I am going to now introduce Lena. I'm going to stop talking. So I want to welcome Lena Skovargason to the podcast.
Hi, Kara. Thank you.
So this is awesome. So Lena, we have lots of fun conversations together, and we get really excited, right, about new design ideas and the future. And I just especially have fun, you know, working with you, and especially since we just launched this brand new collection. And I just want to dig into, you know, just the background, like really what happened behind the scenes, because we really didn't go there.
Yeah.
You know, on the last, you know, in your last episode.
I know, and it was like so new back then. And now we're having some experience from two collections.
I know, yeah. Exactly. And it's fresh. This excitement is fresh because actually we just, we're in Texas together. We have another office, mm-hmm. Annie's office in Texas, and we were planning the spring 17.
Yeah, that's we're crazy, already right? On the next one. We're going on the third one. Yeah, so it's sort of like you say, we are launching fall at the same time as we're starting planning spring. So our brains have to be able to really move fast forward.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a lot of shifting gears, right? Like multitasking. And, you know, sometimes that's hard, but I've learned over the last, you know, several years now, especially with the magazine as well. It's like, you know, you have to sort of say, okay, I'm finished with this idea, put that over there. Mm-hmm. And now kind of, you know, get into the mode for like the next thing. And that can be tricky, but yeah. It's not always so hard because it's fun. I mean, I think we have a lot of fun, and during this, mm-hmm. the initial process, I love that idea of looking at the blank screen and just starting from nothing, mm-hmm. really. Mm-hmm. To me, that's so exciting. Yeah. I don't know about you. How do you feel? Like, what's your favorite part of the creation process? What would you say?
Oh, that's such a hard question. Oh God, I love all of it. Well, it's sort of like when I'm in each part of the process, I'm probably thinking right then and there that now is like my favorite part. But then when I move on to the next step, like say that the whole creation of, like, even when we meet and plan first, the first thing we do and what we did back in February for the fall collection, when we were getting together and looking at all the new yarn samples from the yarn companies, and you know, then it felt like that is just a blast. Like we're having such a great time and it's so creative. But then the whole part of just designing the garments and making sure, you know, making everything kind of come together, that's also something that is so exciting to be in the middle of, and just seeing, you know, the garments coming in from the stitchers that helps us. And then when it comes to the process, when we're starting picking the outfits to, you know, to go with it for the photo shoot, that's something that is, you know, that's pretty cool too. And then the whole photo shoot, those days when we, you know, bring the garments out there and actually get to put them on somebody and take pictures, it feels sometimes like that's my favorite part, but then also looking at the pictures, it's also like, wah. So yeah, Kara, I can't pick. Do I have to pick?
I know. No, you don't have to pick, but you know what? I completely agree with you. That's what I love about working with you, because we're so like kind of, we have this chemistry. Uh-huh. We're like on the same page about a lot of things. And mm-hmm. I'm like you, where I love the, you know, kind of the beginning part and looking at the color stories and the trends, and, mm-hmm. and then of course making, you know, designing. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's like, I feel myself, you know, to be on fire when it comes to that process. Mm-hmm. But then the photo shoot, you know, because like with the magazine, it's the same thing where, you know, it's almost like you're at a Broadway show, or, yeah. or like, you know, it's like, woo, okay, now it's time, yeah. you know? So I really can't pick either.
No.
And so we don't have to. So, but yeah. So let's kind of back up. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted yeah. to, you know, start the conversation mm-hmm. that way, but let's pretend mm-hmm. like we are starting from the beginning. So
yeah.
I first want to say again, so we're kind of going backwards and talking about this new collection called the Autumn Bliss Collection. Obviously, it's an autumn collection of knitting and crochet patterns. And there are like 41 patterns, right?
Yeah.
Right, Lena?
Yeah, something like that.
And, mm-hmm. Yeah. And so right now, if you guys want to check this out, if you happen to be in front of a computer, if you're out running or, you know, you're at the gym and you can't, you know, look, but if you're like, you know, you happen to be in front of your computer, you can go to anniesignaturedesigns.com and just take a look. So as we talk, it'll, you know, hopefully kind of add this extra level of excitement while you're listening. So mm-hmm. check those designs out. So anyway, like how does it all begin? So I think from the beginning, what is the first step you know, when we start to, when you start to think of a new collection.
Well, that we launched in beginning of September, but we met back in mid-April. That's when we started, when the whole process started. And that's when I came to Indiana so that we all could be together, you and me and a couple of other girls and other colleagues that, that work with us. And first of all, like you say, we started looking at how our previous collection was doing. And then we had all the yarn samples laid out on our tables from all the yarn companies that we work with, showing all the new yarns that they would present for the fall season. We had printed out like some stories from color companies, you know, that, that do all the forecast of what trend color is going to be. And in addition, of course, looking at what colors we as a company sell a lot of in fall, winter, so we can get a picture of what our customers are sort of in general wanting, but, and also what we think they might want for the next season. So we first had that all around us when we were sitting down, and then we started just, you know, mapping out on charts, like together, how many garments do we want to have in our next collections? Okay, we wanted a little bit more on the crochet side, and then we wanted to have a couple of, you know, we wanted garments, we wanted cardigans, and then we wanted a number of hats and scarves and a number of sweaters, so that we made sure that we kind of covered all the different garments.
Yeah, and you know, I wanted to just say, like, you know, but just sorry to cut you off there, but to just go back to what you said about having the yarn samples all around us, and the color stories. To me, that's huge. I mean, that right there influences what decisions come next. You know, and it's like we talked about this just recently when we were in Texas. It's like it's almost organic, isn't it? Right? You have an idea, but then you don't have a really full idea. But as you do it, it's almost like you're peeling. I always used to like to use this analogy, is like peeling the layers of an onion. It's like you see it more and more. And you're like, ah, yes, this is how we should do it.
Yeah, and like you said, sometimes it's even like with me. And this is probably the part of just being a designer. You know, having that, you know, that thing. It's like I can pick up a yarn and I could just hold it, and I'm like zooming out everything else around me, and I'm just sort of like squeezing it and fiddling around. And then I just start getting ideas, like what would this yarn be good for? It's soft, it's drapey, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like, and then things just start coming to you. And that's where we in the group, we would be like, ah, I can picture, you know, I can see this like an oversized poncho type of something because it's airy and light. And you guys would be like, yeah, great.
Exactly.
And, you know, or other times it would be like, you know, I would say something and you'd be like, yeah, okay, let's move on. And then we'll just, you know, so that we kind of bounce the ideas back and forth.
Exactly. And I'm being a really good girl because usually like we get together, it's like we like get so excited, we talk, and sometimes we talk over each other, you know?
Oh yeah.
And so I know I'm trying to be good about that. And I did it a couple times here. And I try to be really mindful about that, because when you do that on, you know, during these recordings on Skype, you can cut the other person out, unfortunately. So I'm trying to be a good girl because I get excited when I talk to you, Lena.
I know, me too.
I definitely do. And then it is also very nice to have, you know, because we have another one of our colleagues who is on the merchandising side, actually too, and that really is helpful for me because, you know, I'm sharing influence from the trends as far as what knitters are wanting, what I'm doing in the magazine, what I'm seeing in fashion as well, and then we have the merchandisers who are more involved in the Annie's, on the Annie's side, on the Annie's catalog side, and they're like, okay, here's what's selling, you know, and these are the yarns that are really performing well. And we use that, right? We use that in to kind of temper what our decisions are going to be. But sometimes, and, you know, I don't know how you feel about this, but I really feel like you have to go, well, I actually know what you're going to say, but I mean, you have to go with your intuition and take a chance on something that you feel just in your gut, you know, that intuitively, this is the way to go. Even if, you know, and you know from trends, you know from how many years of experience you had in this world. But then sometimes you take a chance on something because you just feel really strongly that this is something that, you know, knitters and crocheters are just going to love. Mm-hmm. So you have to trust that. Mm-hmm. You have to trust your instincts sometimes, don't you think?
Absolutely. And just go sort of like, don't go to a place where you don't really care about trends or anything else, but you just go into yourself and think like, what would I want to have? Like, that's many times I do. Like, what do I feel like wearing this coming fall? You know, based on how I feel. And of course, a lot of those feelings are because you have been influenced when you're out looking in stores or whatever. So it's just sort of like you say, you go to yourself and think that if I, you know, if that's something that I feel strongly about, hopefully other people will too.
So, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, okay. So the first step is, okay, so we covered that. So the mm-hmm. trends, the color stories, you know, seeing what's selling, going with, you know, instincts and things that we really think will be aesthetically mm-hmm. pleasing. But the next step is, you know, when we really get into like the production mm-hmm. and that can be a lot of logistics, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so like, I know you design and create, you know, and actually stitch some of these projects yourself, because we need, because mm-hmm. then what we need are the actual samples. And mm-hmm. so we need the samples and we need the patterns mm-hmm. written. Mm-hmm. So this is how that whole thing starts. Mm-hmm. So can you talk a little bit, you know, I mean, I know how it works, but like from your perspective, like because you're steering the ship from that point on,
yeah.
working with other designers, working with stitchers, talking to the tech editors mm-hmm. and the production people. So when we get into the production side
yeah.
and the making side, like, how does that happen?
What
goes on?
Well, first of all, we realized that we can't, you know, the number of designs that we want in the collection to make it cohesive and cover the different areas, we realized we can't, you know, do all those designs ourselves. And it's fun to collaborate with other designers too. So we have been asking, you know, a couple of designers to work with us on the collections. And those are people that we pick together, people that we have worked with before and that we know and, you know, like their designs and like what they do. So when we have mapped out what kind of garments we want to make, we sort of feel like, you know, that one would be something that designer would be really great at. So what the first thing I do was, you know, to go home and contact those designers and present the ideas and, you know, figure out if they were interested and felt like doing something in that direction. And so we had probably like 4 or 5 designers in each crochet and knit collection collaborating with us. So I would talk to them and I would, you know, tell them what yarns we want to work with, what colors we want them to use. And then I would contact the yarn companies. They are so nice, you know, providing all the yarns for the sample. So they would send yarn then to these designers so they can get going. And then we have the big portion of the designs that we have decided to do, you know, ourselves. So I would just start pretty much like, you know, like you said, very super organized. It's super important to have everything mapped out. I would just go one design by one and start thinking about, you know, what we're going to do with this one, the yarn, order the yarn from the yarn company. So the yarn arrives. And then at that point, when I have all the yarn, I would start swatching each one, making, you know, checking out different textures and stitches. And once I have that figured out for like one design, I would start writing up, you know, we always make our samples in a size medium. So I would write up the size medium based on the stitch numbers and all that for the design that I want. And sometimes if a design is quite tricky, I would say sometimes I need to actually work it while I'm writing the pattern because I don't mm-hmm. really know how it's going to turn out. And you know, like for everyone, it's like you work and then you're like, nah, that wasn't really coming out the way I thought, so I would start over again. So those designs I actually end up stitching myself. But then mm-hmm. if there's something where I feel like the pattern is just working out, I know exactly nothing really complicated going on here, I would just write up the pattern. And then I have a couple of stitcher ladies here around me locally where I live that is a great help to me. So they would come mm-hmm. and just pick up the yarn and pick up the pattern. Sometimes it's just, you know, sketches and charts that they would work on, and they would come back to me then and show like, now I'm this far, how do I continue? And we kind of work on the pattern as they keep continue, you know. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to just go back to what you just said though about how sometimes you'll write up the pattern and you'll just, you know, if it's tricky or you're not really sure how it's going to work out, you kind of work on the needles, so to speak, design on the needles. Have you ever heard that phrase?
No, but it's good.
Because I think that that's kind of, there's two different schools out there. Some designers only design on the needles and other designers just design on paper, but that comes with experience. And I just wanted to mention that because I know a lot of the listeners of Power Pearls, you know, they're new or they're wanting to, how do I even start, you know, designing? And it, I think it's a good idea to design on the needles and to work your way through, because then you understand, but work your way up to being able to be like a, you know, a designer on paper eventually. And that comes with, you know, perfecting your skills. And of course, you've been doing this for a long time. And then when you are able to do that, then, you know, you've got the stitchers so that you can free yourself up to start working on the on new creative ideas. And that's the thing that I think some knitters get caught up in, or new designers get caught up in, I'm going to make everything myself. And you really can't.
No.
I mean, I know you do a lot yourself because you're really fast and you're great, Nina.
Ah, thank you.
You know, but I mean, really, no, you have that. It's amazing. The ability that you just, you know, put your head to the grindstone, as they say. I don't know if that's the saying.
Yeah.
I think it is. So anyway, you know, you just get in there and you just do it. But really getting into working with stitchers is a great way to be more business-like. So anyway.
And sometimes, like you say, with the stitchers, interesting, because sometimes you write up something and then they work on it and it actually comes out a little bit different. And then you see it and you're like, interesting.
Exactly.
That didn't really turn out the way I wanted, but it looks good. So let's just, you know, go with that instead. Like, you know, that happens too.
It does. Okay. So now, so then the, you know, so the patterns are being created and the samples are being made in a size medium, because that's the, you know, we basically do that because we want to make sure that, they're going to fit a size medium model, basically. That's the idea. And then, how many sizes do we usually do for the signature designs? Because I know, because in the pattern, that's another thing, you know, the grading and the sizing part is that's a whole other,
that's math.
You know, ball of wax. That's math, baby.
That's math.
I know from Creative Knitting Magazine, we do, we like to have at least three sizes, but we usually have about four or five. So,
well,
and
you
I
know,
think it's
For us, it's like, because I felt that the more sizes we can give, the better. That's just, you know, so when we work with the designers, I ask them to, you know, at least go to 3X, but if they are comfortable based on the design to go up even to a 5X, that's great. So that's sort of like what we're aiming for. And even for myself, like I try to, sometimes it's limiting, you know, if there is like a big stitch repeat, so you can't, like, then it's like some garments have turned out to be maybe, you know, just like three sizes, but then we would do like a small, medium, or large, X large, a 2X, 3X, because it has like a repeat that you can't cut in half or something like that. But I feel like we've been getting really great response on making the designs available up in like bigger sizes. So now, like right now, before we were talking, I'm actually writing up a t-shirt here for the spring collection. And I'm just going up to size 5X on that one from small. So I think, as you know, if it's possible, we should. So, because people come in all kinds of sizes, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's an important aspect. You know, that pattern writing skill is something that really has to be developed, because that's the product at the end of the day. The pattern is the product here. I mean, we could take the most beautiful photos, right? So this is the first, you know, kind of like the upfront thing that we really focus on. And then we get into the production, other production, which is
the
tech editing, right? And so I'm kind of thinking of, you know, still in this production bucket, tech editing and pattern layout, because the tech editors are still involved during that, because during pattern layout, things look different, right?
Yeah.
They look different, or something is funky. So like, what happens at that point? So now everything's
I'm done with the pattern, and that, like you said, it's like, that's probably like one of the skills that I, you know, I've been worked for so many years on that whole thing on grading patterns. That's a little bit of one of my stronger sides, like you said. So I do my best to make a pattern as perfect as possible. I'm super perfectionist. But that said, we're, you know, we have those tech editors coming in and doing an amazing job just going through the panels, making sure, because we want the panels to be perfect, right? So they go through, they check all our numbers, they test things, and they make sure that everything is like in the right order, and just make sure to quality control the patterns. And then, you know, they have questions, they go back to me. So I work back and forth with the tech editor until we are feeling good about that. Now the pattern is as good as we can ever make it. And then we send it off to our layout department that puts it into the pretty format, you know, that's going to be printed on the PDFs, and make sure that all the charts are fitting in on the pages, and just everything's coming out looking nice and with a good visual and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we go through proofreading. So then at that point we're going through. So the first, you know, the first phase is after the tech editing is done, we have the Word, everything's kind of in a Word document, and we call that a first proofreading. Mm-hmm. And then when it's in the layout, as Lena, as you say, the pretty format, that's our template. And so then that's a final proofreading. And then, like I said earlier, you know, then sometimes mistakes can be introduced by the layout artist. I mean, no offense to them, but it's just like, it's like anything, it's human error. So then we have to kind of make sure everything looks right, or, you know, some things that I see is like a chart, you know, let's say there's a chart and it's like in a weird spot in the pattern, which it's fine. You can go find it, but like you can't see the forest for the trees sometimes.
No,
if you know
and
that
I have
saying.
A good example, because like, I was just proofreading something yesterday. Like you say, when the PDF is made all pretty with pictures and everything, then we are several people that go through that document to make sure. And there was like this pattern I had made of just like a square with cables for one of my online classes. And everything looked pretty. And I looked it over like, great, great, great. And then I was just about to send it off saying, fine, great. And then I saw like, wait, is that square? Is it like actually upside down? Because the cables were supposed to all turn left. But then I was like, wait, they're turning right. And I had to double check the chart. And I'm like, yep, the whole. So that's the thing that they had just been plugging in the picture upside down. And since it's a square, you couldn't really tell, but it would have been confusing for, you know, whoever. So yeah,
that's it's amazing. Those little things that I see. I've been doing, you know, with the magazine for 6 years. So it's like, I see upside down photos, like, even though you're like, you just, sometimes you don't see it. You're, you know, the even like if it's stockinette, like if it's, or let's say if not, it's not as obvious because it might just be like a close up of the stitch pattern and you might not realize it, that it's upside down. I mean, I'm not obviously a model. Yep. If they're upside down, you get it. But like little things, like when you're going through your day and you're really busy and it's those little things. So that's like a huge part of that final proofreading process. So then after that, and I'll be honest, during that phase myself, I mean, it's a little bit grueling, but that kind of work has to get done. Mm-hmm. And it's not one of my favorites. It's just not, I'm totally being honest.
It's super administrative. It's like you said, that's a lot of hours in front of the computer. That's not.
Yeah, but it has to be done. Mm-hmm. Just, it does.
Absolutely.
You know? And then after that, and sort of almost simultaneously, because actually, you know what? I just realized that I skipped. Yeah. So after the patterns are ready, even before the pretty layout, we do the photo shoot.
Of course.
Yeah. Of course. So we talked about that before, and that's a favorite, like I said, it's like Hollywood, Broadway show. Mm-hmm. So Lena, this is a big part, and we have gone on location to do this. You know, our photographer Scott Campbell went there to your neck of the woods because you live in the beautiful area of California called San Luis Obispo.
Yep.
And we did, you know, we shot last year's collection there on the beach. And this year we shot in just these beautiful kind of open spaces. So anyway, talking about the model choices, the location choices. You really put a lot of work into that. And unfortunately, I didn't get to go. And there's got to be a way to get me there.
I know.
Next time, hint, hint to, you know, the powers that be. But talk about what goes into that photo shoot, Lena.
Well, yeah, no, it is exciting. I do live in a very beautiful spot here where, you know, I love where I live. And so to be able to do the photo shoot here is just amazing. So, but first, like you say, first thing happens is that I get all these samples, like now all the sweaters and everything that been made is being sent to me. So I'm here with, 40 garments. And so what I do is like, I get hangers for everything, I hang up, and then I start picking out styling, as we call it, what to go with it, if it's jeans or shorts or skirts or whatever. So that's so much fun, because it's, it's like I go out and I have a budget, so I can buy some stuff, but I also, I'm going to admit it, I hope she's not listening, I go into my daughter's wardrobe lot, and I know she knows that I've done it, and she's been like, Mom, you can't do that. And I'm like, okay, I'm never going to do it again. And then, because she's off to college, so her wardrobe is sort of like there still. So, but I also go into my own wardrobe, and I go into my friends' wardrobes, and I pick out things so that I feel good about how the things are going to look, the way you would actually wear it. And then, so that's the first thing, just picking all the styling, and I take pictures so that I will remember what I was thinking once I'm out on location. And then it's the whole thing of picking models. And of course, if we had a huge budget, we could fly in models from Los Angeles or whatever, but we can't. So it's pretty much friends, neighbors, daughters, people from around me that I work with.
But you have a great eye. You have a really great eye, and you like have picked some beautiful girls, for the collection. So you just really, you're very mindful.
Well, thank that's a good you. Word well, at for least, you, at least though. You and I have the same taste. So that's good. Well, I like you say, I feel like I'm super picky, because I feel after putting so much work into the designs, of course I want the girls to kind of like, in my eyes, at least, be just as pretty as the designs, to kind of like, give the personality to those garments. But it is like my friends, daughters and sons or whatever we're using. And when I pick them, it's like I want to have a variety of people, because I think that's more exciting for the collection. So I felt like this last time, I felt like having like 8 different models would be great. That would be what I wanted. So, and then I wanted, I wanted like some dark hair, some blonde, some like a variety, also ages. Like I have a girl that is 16, but I also have one of my friends who is 50. So I also want, a range in different, both age and sizes. Like we try to stick, like we say, we stitch everything in medium. But some things are, fitting somebody who is a little bit taller and somebody who might be a little bit shorter. So, but this time it was actually tricky, because I felt like I'm starting to run out of people a little bit.
Really?
Yeah. And, you would think like the college here in town, they had just gone out for the summer. So a lot of people had left town. So some of the girls that I had talked to, they were like, nah, sorry, I'm not going to be there. So I had a little bit of chance. This last time, actually, I ended up like giving out my business card to people downtown. Like I even like saw a cute girl in a store, and I walked up to her and I said like, yeah, have you ever been modeling? And you feel like that weird lady. It's kind of like hitting on girls, but I, a couple of the models that we got there, I actually ended up getting them that way. That these are people that I don't know, but that I just ran into. So,
yeah, I love that you have the age range too. And because I think that speaks to, like real people, like you don't have just all young college girls wearing the garments, because at the end of the day, I think that we have women that are in their 50s, 60s that are going to be making these too.
Absolutely.
So we have to remember that. Mm-hmm. And again, like I it's great that you're very aware of that. Mm-hmm. So and I know that you put a lot of time into finding the location, so let's talk about that. Mm-hmm. Next.
Well, like, for the, yeah, well, it's like where I live here, it's like there are so many options, because we have the ocean and we have the mountains and there are lakes and everything. So, but for the summer collection, we wanted everything to be very beachy, beach and piers and coastal. So I was like pretty much going to every single beach, for an hour and a half north and an hour and a half south, and just wanting to have, you know, one beach with maybe white sand, another beach with some grass, or so. That was an exciting day of like 22,000 steps or something, because I have that Fitbit thing.
It's crazy.
I know that was so, but it's beautiful. You know, we got some beautiful locations, I feel. But then for fun, you know, for the fall collection here, now the autumn collection, we were shooting in the end of June. And in the end of June here in California, of course, it's like high summer with hot weather, and yeah, all the grass is like golden. And so we wanted to find locations where we could, you know, get that fall autumn feeling that we wanted. So we were up in the hills. We have some nature areas where there are like dead trees and they're all white. So it's almost like, you know, an enchanted forest. It's like beautiful out there. It's a little bit down out by the ocean, but it's like a whole forest. And then, so we went up a little bit in our hills. There are like some old volcano hills around here. But so I feel like we were able to capture just nature as it is year around here.
Absolutely. Yeah. I feel like when you look at the current photos, mm-hmm, on the website, it's just beautiful. It's like you feel like it's fall. It's like open, mm-hmm, open prairie space or, mm-hmm, something. And it's like, yeah.
But I'll tell you, it was like first couple of days, it was windy like crazy. And then, you know, you have a problem having, you know, the garments just being still on the models' bodies, and their hair is like, their hair is all over the place. And it was hot. There was like, of course, there was a heat spell. So it was up in the 90s, and the models were wearing these wool garments, and they, you know, they sweat and their hair is flying. So it's just amazing then when you look at the picture, how they actually, you know, turn out with all that going on.
I know, it really is. And so, like, I know for Creative Knitting here, you know, in-house, and when we go on location, we have the photographer and we have the photo stylist and we have the assistants. And then, you know, the editor is nearby to kind of like just be able to, you know, really pay attention to how the product is styled and, mm-hmm, how it falls on the model. But how did that work with you and Scott? Because, you know, was it just you guys, or,
yep,
were you able, you didn't have an assistant on that one, huh? And see, I was supposed to be your assistant. Anyway.
Yeah. No, I could totally need an assistant, Kara.
Oh my goodness.
It's true. It's like, wow, you say, I see some of our, I wouldn't say competitors, but other companies, I could see, you know, their behind the scenes shots where they have all their makeup artists and all these people like stylists and stuff going on. It's just me and the photographer and the girl. So I want a very like natural look on them. So I tell them to just do their basic natural makeup when they come to the photo shoot. And I also want natural hair. So I kind of, that's the same thing. I just tell them like, just wash your hair, make sure it's just all natural. And then we carry a lot. Like, you know, we always try to park nearby where we're going to shoot, but sometimes we have to hike up a hill so we carry a lot. We never make the models carry anything because we don't want them to get even more sweaty. So,
sure.
So I carry.
Well, are you doing the makeup though?
Well, and, I carry like additional makeup. So I always bring like a powder, and I bring hairbrush and clips and little lip gloss and things like that so that we can refresh their makeup during the photo shoot. So, and we usually would work with one girl for like 2 to 3 hours, and then she's done for the day. So if we're up there and, you know, she starts getting shiny in her face or something, I'm there with my little powder, mm-hmm, powdering, mm-hmm, her down and brushing up her hair a little bit between the photo shoots. Yeah. And then we bring, that's of funny, course, you know, we bring the outfits that they're going to change into. We have everything on hangers. So if we're going up the hill, we bring everything with us. And we have screens, you know, they're like screens to reflect light. So we would use those screens to cover up so that they can change out there in the nature. Because you don't really want to hike 15 minutes back to the car in 90 degrees just to change pants. So it's kind of like happening there on location usually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So it's funny because it's cool because I get to ask these questions, like, you know, because I wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm totally, you know, I'm curious about all of this stuff, just as curious as the listeners probably are.
Hopefully.
And so, the next thing I'm wondering about is the videos. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I am involved in the beginning and then I'm involved at the end mm-hmm. with the marketing and all that. And we'll talk about that a little bit too. But, okay, so you've done all these beautiful photos. Now we have videos. We have videos of the projects. And I've been calling these like the 360 view videos. Mm-hmm. So they turn around and they do all this. So how does that happen? I mean, is Scott doing this on his camera? And
well, he brings like several yeah. cameras out to the location where we're shooting. So first we have the girl, you know, first we have to warm her up a little bit. Because remember, like, these girls are not professionals. So We you know, if there's a garment, we make sure to have pictures from, you know, her standing from the front, from the side, from the back. We make her like walk a little bit and just take different positions. And then when we feel like we have enough of pictures, when we feel like we're good, then he switches into another camera where he's able to take a few like more like close up where we get maybe, you know, a headshot of the thing and details of the garment that we use for the layout of the pattern. Like, he would zoom in on maybe a neckline or a little slit on the side or a pocket or whatever. So that's using another camera. And then he picks out his third camera where he makes the model sort of sway from side to side, maybe spin a little bit around, depending a little bit on how comfortable they are. Some of them would, you know, be able to walk and spin around and be comfortable. Other people, even if everyone is like great walking, you don't tell them to walk. Mm-hmm. You know, these models can get super nervous when you start asking them to move around. So then we just have them swing a little bit from side to side. And he is the one moving with the camera up and down and, you know, getting good shots on how the garment actually moves and drapes. And I think that's great for people to be able to see a garment in action. So when you go to the pattern page, you can click on that video and be able to see the garment from the back and how it moves when you move. So I think that's just a very great addition.
It is. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so if you go to anniesignaturedesigns.com and you just kind of scroll down to the middle of the page, you can see a link to watch these videos. And they're absolutely amazing. And Scott Campbell, our photographer, is an artist and he's amazing. And he knows how to make the girls move and
yep.
feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. Like, Scott knows how to make you feel comfortable and, you know, just welcome.
Yeah, we need
know?
To. Yeah, we need to make a little shout out for him because he's an
yes,
amazing
say,
photographer.
He is, and you know, as we're talking, and you know, because this could be, you know, about the process and the photography, and he's been involved with the company for over 30 years. He's been with Annie's for over 30 years,
mm-hmm.
and it would be so cool to have him on the show, don't you think?
Oh, I would love to. Girls. Yeah, wouldn't that be great to have him tell side of the story? Because he's been through a lot of different kind of photography and he's just been amazing working with
So anyway, so you guys maybe will get to hear what it's like from the photographer's perspective and what it's, you know, to just to be shooting.
Yeah, I think
like
that's a great idea.
And he's seen it all,
mm-hmm,
man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's gonna come again. I've already booked him for the next collection, so he totally
awesome. So,
have the job.
He has the job. So where are you going to shoot? Have you any ideas? I mean, we're talking spring now. We're talking spring 17. What do you?
Well, I definitely have started to think about it, even if it's not going to happen until end of November. But I, you know, it's like I'm still in love with the whole beach area thing and the whole thing of being in our little beach towns. But I'm thinking that, you know, there's like this little fisher town. Is that what you say? I don't know if that's what you say, but it's,
I think it's like a fishing town.
A little bit up north here where there are like some fishing boats and more, you know, piers and like old, like I'm a little bit tempted to go there and see if I can find some interesting spots. But I also have a big love for Santa Barbara, which is just an hour and a half south from me. And in Santa Barbara, you have a lot of that Spanish style with tiles and white houses and blue doors. And they, you know, a lot of colors in the architecture in the city. And I just love that part. So I'm seeing maybe a day down there shooting, but I don't know yet. It's mm-hmm. still up for decisions.
you know, so after the photo shoot, so we do the patterns and then, you know, they're in the pretty format. And the other big, big deal is the lookbooks.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you know, a lot of people are calling this like collection a lookbook, but really the lookbook is the actual vehicle for viewing these in this. It's online only, mm-hmm. and it looks like a book. Basically, it's like an online book, and it's like you're turning the pages.
Yep.
So when you guys go to the website, if maybe you're there, you actually can page through and you can link, you know, they're linked to the patterns. You can go to the patterns, but you get to see everything right there inside the lookbook.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a pretty cool thing that we implemented, you know, and we started that with the Summer Love collection. And you know what would be really cool and something to think about for the next collection is to have those videos inside the lookbook. I don't think we have the videos in there for each little snippet that we made.
Yeah, I don't know if it's possible to link it maybe, or but I think the whole idea is just to be able to, you know, put all those like amazing pictures, like zoom in and give like a visual feeling of the whole collection without having all the text and the info and the details. That's kind of like in the back of the book. But in the beginning, Absolutely. It's just like flipping through a beautiful story about, you know, a season and knitwear or crochet wear and just trying to get the message out like that, how we feel about the whole collection. So
that's it. I mean, it's about the story. Mm-hmm. That's how we tell it through mm-hmm. this lookbook.
Mm-hmm. So, then I like one other thing that I was just going to mention about those videos is that we have this music in the background that is also there to give a mood to the collection. And the funny story about that is actually one of the girls that we use as a model who is both singing and doing the songwriting for that music. And when I heard her music, I felt that goes so hand in hand with the feeling I have about the collection. So I'm so happy that we're able to put her music, which is totally unique. She's not, you know, published yet or anything, but she's just a 16-year-old girl doing the music now that we have.
It's just amazing. Her voice is, and what's her name?
Her name is Dasha. So you could find her on YouTube or this other music site. What is it called again?
Spotify?
Yeah, it's called SoundCloud. SoundCloud. So you can search Dasha. Her name is Dasha Novotny. And she's modeling several of our garments, both in this summer collection and in the autumn collection. She's a tall blonde girl. She's only 16 years old. But I just think that also is adding to the whole mood, because we want the whole collection sort of give a feeling, because like you said in the beginning, we're so excited, like we're so on fire for this whole project. So we want to kind of like express that whole thing all through, from the design to the whole presentation.
Mm-hmm. No, this was great. I'm really happy that you came on so we could, like, you know, sort of unpack the process and what it's like, you know, instead of, you know, someone sees the patterns and that's beautiful and that's great.
Mm-hmm.
But to see, like, kind of pull the curtain mm-hmm. aside and take a look to see what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think, you know, yeah, I think we really covered it really nicely. And like I said, so another episode, I'll go into the marketing mm-hmm. piece, because, you know, that's a whole other thing. Like, once we launched early September, you know, we hit the ground running, you know, and sent out press releases and, you know, connected with all the contributors and, you know, really like a really big part of that mm-hmm. too, which sometimes I think people forget, is connecting with, you know, the people that you are friends with, because mm-hmm. their friends might be knitters. And even like here internally mm-hmm. at Annie's, you know, we said, hey, everybody, get on there and, you know, share the love, because it's like a domino effect. And that's something really powerful. So the power of social. Don't.
And
ever,
like you said,
you know,
it doesn't matter how great of a collection we do or how great pictures we take if we don't get the message out there. Like, we want people to know about it. Of course, we're super proud about our baby.
Yeah. Absolutely. So is there anything else? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm going to talk about that. We're going to do a little like special giveaway, like a little thing. I'm going to talk about that mm-hmm. and the steps to get involved. But is there anything else that I missed or anything you wanted to?
Well, the only thing that I'm working now, sort of like after the whole thing. Now, when you guys are working a lot with the marketing, I've been working on making tutorial videos for, you know, I'm not going to be able to do it for all the designs, but I've picked, you know, the ones that I feel can really do well with the, with some help for people that is working on them. So we're going to soon launch tutorial videos to go with at least 12 of these patterns.
So, well, I know we don't have a real hard date as of this recording, but I think it's going to be before the end of the year. Can we confidently say that, do you think?
Oh, absolutely. Anywhere. Yeah. Okay. I mean, hopefully within just a couple of weeks, we will start seeing the first ones coming out on the website.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm going to talk about this giveaway. Mm-hmm. This is cool. I'm glad that we came up with this like really fun idea. Mm-hmm. So there's a design. It's called the Moonstone Poncho and it's gorgeous. I'm actually making it myself. I love it. And it's made with Plymouth yarn. It's a lace. Is it fit? No, it's a sport weight. Mm-hmm. It's called Naco.
Araya Abruli.
Araya Abruli. Well, anyway, so this design, we're giving away a kit. So the pattern, the digital pattern, plus all the yarn you need to make it. And I'm going to tell you now how you can get involved with this giveaway. So here's what you do. Okay. So you go to Pinterest, okay, and search the Annie's Autumn Bliss collection board, and you'll see 41 pins, and those 41 pins are the 41 projects. So if you guys have been hanging out on anniesignaturedesigns.com, you'll see, you know, the familiar looking projects on there. And if you can't find it that way, you can go to Annie's catalog. You can search Annie's catalog on Pinterest as well. Okay, so the next step is you will repin your 5 favorite designs, okay? They could be knit or crochet, doesn't matter, okay? Your 5 favorites. And then what you need to do after you actually repin or share, I should say that, repin or share, so you can share on Instagram, Facebook, wherever. Then you take each link, so every place that you shared, send in an email, so copy and paste, right? And send that to Kara@powerpearlspodcast.com. And that's Kara with a K if you don't know. And then you'll be entered. You'll be entered in the contest to win the Moonstone Poncho kit. So also another thing, in your promotions, please use the hashtag Annie's signature. I'm sorry. No. I take that back. Annie's Autumn Bliss collection. And that's one word. So hashtag Annie's Autumn Bliss collection and hashtag Power Pearls podcast. So all this info is also going to be in the show notes. So you can, in case you're not near your computer. And like I said, if you're running, that's a lot to remember. and so that's it. That's all you got to do. And so anything else? Did I miss anything here, Lena? I think we covered everything.
Yeah. No, I hope so. Yeah? Well, we could, like you say, we could talk forever about this. I'm so passionate. So just stop me.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Lena, this is great. So thank you so much for joining me. This is like a really long and meaty episode, and I hope everyone enjoyed it. So Lena, thank you.
Thank you, Kara.
Okay, you guys, thanks again for joining us, and I'll see you next time. Well, I hope you enjoyed that meaty episode with Lena. It was so much fun chatting with her. I just feel like she is a soul sister. We can just talk forever. So it was great. It was so awesome to work with her on these last two collections and especially on the current collection. And, you know, every time we get together, we have all these amazing ideas. So, you know, coming soon, you know, you're going to see more. And we are developing a new collection, by the way. We just started working on the Spring 17 collection. So it's really exciting. And I'm so happy to be a part of it. So anyway, I just wanted to share quickly the details about the contest to win the Moonstone Poncho Kit. The deadline to enter is November 4th, midnight, November 4th. Okay, so that technically means you've got all day on November 3rd to enter. Okay, so yeah, that's it. And you know, you guys, good luck. So again, thanks so much for joining me for another episode of Power Pearls Podcast, and I will see you next time.